Who is Harold Jenkins? Allison is Law and Order, and everyone needs to go number 5. Trust me, today we are talking The Umbrella Academy, Season 1, Episodes 7 and 8, The Day That Was, and I heard a rumor the after show on AfterBuzz starts right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah, we're going to go number 5 all night long. I'm letting you know that right now.
Can't I mean, leaving?
I'm letting you know. That's how it goes. That's how it goes. As we get into all things The Umbrella Academy, we are talking episodes 7 and 8, The Day That Was, and I Heard a Rumor, which, of course, is Allison's little power thing. I heard a rumor. Then I'm alongside some really great co-hosts. To my left, the Jim Alexander.
It's reality. It's not a rumor anymore.
That's how it goes. And of course, the one and only Drew, who we're going out with later tonight.
What's up, guys? I'm suddenly feeling really tired and might go home after this.
Well, you know who's not tired? Steph Sabra, who's in the booth. And of course, I am Teron. Literally, I am Teron. If you don't know, I haven't been around, but I've been catching up. And you guys, this is one of the best panels. This show is amazing. Not all of us agree. Let's talk some of these things as we get into episode 7 and 8 of The Umbrella Academy Season 1, The Day That Was, I Heard a Rumor, and we're going to break it down by episode. Episode 7, we're going to discuss Leonard is Harold Jenkins, I'm just surprised he's white. We're going to get into the backstory and, of course, hidden agenda, and let's learn about who he really is. Luther's moon mission. Whoa, that's a big, big shoe that dropped off. The right foot and the commission, Hazel versus Cha-Cha. Orders have been sent down. Like I said, we're number 5 and getting in. Klaus gets to see Dad. Then we're going to jump into episode 8, where we talk Vanya practicing her powers. Vanya's the flashbacks. Was Reginald right for hiding her powers? Allison's investigation. That's the Law and Order segment. Agnes and Hazel, let's run away. Cha-Cha, we're all doing that. And Vanya slices Allison's throat. Sorry, guys. I hope I didn't just give you information you didn't know. We're going to have a special segment, which is What Number Are You?, where we pick our number of category in the Umbrella Academy, which we feel relates to us. And we have a special segment and some news and gossip. So it's good to go. It's good to be us. Let's jump right into overall
all that
thoughts.
In 5 hours, right?
I break it down. We get there. These episodes have actually been very strong. And I would love to know your overall thoughts, starting with the wonderful Drew.
I feel like this was really where the season picked up a lot. Now it's like you're really excited to see what's happening. 7 and 8 were definitely, in my opinion, A+ episodes.
I agree. As someone who hasn't been all the way on the bandwagon, 7 was the strongest episode of the season, I feel. Just a lot happened, a lot of reveals, and finally it was making a lot of sense. 8 was good. 8 left us with the best probably cliffhanger of the season, but I felt 2 of the strongest episodes.
Well, I've been on board with Umbrella Academy since the beginning. I felt that the characters had a dynamic that was very interesting. It's very captivating. It's something that I enjoy watching. I'm getting into 7 and 8, where I say Allison and Law and Order. I really mean Law and Order SVU, because we seem like we've had an abduction. It's watching the psychological concept of who is getting into Harold Jenkins and what his hidden agenda is. We see a lot of that, and it's got this serial killer feel to it. I have this like Charles Manson feel, you know, something like out of Psycho, something. There's just something I'm anticipating. And of course, the drama that's relating to Cha-Cha and Hazel is some of my favorite. And number 5 is constantly and consistently my favorite character all the way through.
That makes a lot of sense.
I think he's brilliant as an actor and as a character, just portrayed perfectly fine. And even in a close second, it's Klaus. And we have a lot of Klaus in this episode, where the level of, I don't know how you guys felt about Klaus up here.
I think we know. Yeah, that's been a big topic of discussion. Yeah. I haven't been the biggest fan. I will give him props for the first time. I will. I thought he finally, in episode 7, had some purpose to this show. When he kind of comforted Luther, and
I think Drew disagrees and has been disagreeing.
She has
been.
It's fine. I can fight for that, because I thought up to episode 7 he was pretty worthless on the show and wasn't doing much besides getting up in tubs and rolling around on the floor, doing
sorry,
pointless
he was
things.
Struggling with addiction. Like, I'm sorry, inconvenient.
I'm here to be entertained.
You.
So, his laying around in a bath and all that wasn't entertained, but he finally had a purpose this episode. I felt like we saw him finally being comforting to someone. And in a lot of ways, we saw a different side of him that I didn't think we saw before.
I can understand Jim's argument with him seeming purposeless.
Yeah.
And that's because he didn't have an action. However, something that Klaus brought to the screen, in my opinion, is he was the soul of the show. And if you're watching this, it's not just an addiction. It's he's trying to self-medicate from the pain mm-hmm. of being able to communicate with what we would essentially see as monsters. If anyone saw ghosts constantly, which we saw this whole concept in The Sixth Sense when it comes to life, is this would be frightening for any child to grow up with. This can you could never be comforted, and especially if the monsters that you see are strangers, and more importantly when they are your own. And so Klaus and seeing and being the only one who's able to speak to his brother, that to me is the spirit and soul of the show. And I that's the purpose. The purpose is the depth that Klaus brings.
I think they all have depth. They all have issues to deal with individually. You can break down each character. They all going through it differently.
Sure.
In a lot of ways. So I don't think he's special because of that.
I think Klaus is...
But this...
It's indicative of... Like the show, because he's the one who's the most tortured outside. And
he probably is the most tortured. I agree with that.
Yeah. And that's what I see his value being.
Okay.
So overall thoughts is good episode, good episode. Good episode, great episode.
Yeah, great episode. Mm-hmm.
Great episodes. Let's get into episode 7. Episode 7, of course, being we find out Leonard is Harold Jenkins.
Yeah.
We've been looking at, and you know what was interesting is that Allison went to the library and like looked up.
Like it took her 2 seconds to find this man.
Well, kind of. It's also the police files and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But she, I mean, you know, that little projector thing is a little known thing. Like it's one that's kind of getting forgotten.
Oh yeah, the library thing where with the I guess magnifying
we don't
glass.
Even know the word. Like there's
a name for. I feel like libraries in general are kind of forgotten about, but yeah, that I don't know what that thing is called.
Yeah,
but
the little, and she goes through and finds little snippets and can't find enough. Like, why is there a person who has no information? Has either one of you actually Googled someone after meeting them?
I always Google people.
Oh, that's fun.
Well, because I don't want to, what if you have a charge, you know, or you have a secret family or.
Do that unless they give you a reason to do that. Because then you're just setting yourself with expectations and just feeding yourself with thoughts.
Nobody Google me. So listen, awkward. So here's the thing. When we get to this information of who they are, we find out Leonard is Harold Jenkins. Mm-hmm. And what did you think of that bombshell?
Reveal.
Yeah. What was it, surprising?
I will say you've been on board. You always thought something's fishy with him. I thought I liked the character. Not too
no
surprised.
Way, you?
Yeah, I know. Shocking. It wasn't shocking to reveal because you knew he was almost too nice, and there's something. They put in so much time into him that there had to be some sort of reveal. I was more curious and interested in his childhood. He was like that kid that got kicked out in a sense and not given opportunity, and he's been holding that weight all his life, and that anger and resentment. I just felt there's a good character study analysis right there from his childhood, how he's almost constructed this whole plan in a lot of ways.
Yeah. True. I think I've been saying it for a couple weeks now, but I feel like each member of the Umbrella Academy represents how people deal with abuse in some way, shape, or form. I don't think Harold Jenkins is any different. I think he shows what happens when you don't try to get help, or you don't you just allow anger and everything to just fester, and we kind of.
But it was quick with him as a kid. He took the hammer to his father. Literally.
Yeah, he snapped.
That wasn't quick. That was years of abuse and.
But he was a young kid still back then.
Is he a sociopath? Is Harold Jenkins a sociopath?
I'm not a doctor. I don't want to put
no
that on him. I don't.
He's a man on a mission to recover his past in a way in any means necessary.
I mean, I think he cares about Vanya in the sense of, you're an outcast, I'm an outcast. Together we can show them that they were wrong about us. So I don't think he's a sociopath, because sociopaths don't have emotion towards, other people. So I just think he's angry.
So you do think he cares?
I think he cares about Vanya on some level,
It's not just using Vanya because she is the quickest way in, the quickest revenge, the quickest connection. And
vulnerable.
This is something, as we see as the backstory, getting to there.
I think his relationship with her is definitely abusive in its own, since he's definitely manipulating her. But I think in some weird way, shape, or form, he finds comfort in her and he cares about that comfort. I don't know if he necessarily cares about her, but he cares about the comfort that she provides him.
I think he's got issues, but I think their relationship's actually the most solid aspect. Well, here's the thing. Look at another aspect. Maybe he's trying to get her to get the best version of herself and get her, you know, realize her powers in a lot of ways that she couldn't unlock in a way without him pushing her.
Then why, like, lie?
Because that's
why hide it? Why is it a hidden agenda?
It's the only way to get her out of it. You see how uncomfortable she is with it. She just doesn't want to push herself to it. She doesn't want to face it. And he's got to go through different measures to get her to that point. Sometimes, you know, the ways justifies the means, you know, in a lot of ways. And I don't think he's doing it. Well, there is a motivation for that. But also, I think he's doing it for her own good because he still wants to, you know, have her by his side. If it was about that, I think he would have just used her and just dropped her off. But I still think he wants her in his life, and there's a real connection there.
So somehow you're seeing the bright side of Harold Jenkins. And I have to disagree. I have to say that it's all hidden agenda. This is a form of both psychological and physical abuse. Whether you see the physical abuse is in the way he pushes her, where he motivates her through the use of negative terminology and makes her and guilts her into doing something. Now, to me, that's completely wrong, whether it's in a regular relationship or in an anti-relationship, which this is. Number three, and thirdly, it's the hidden agenda that he has. And this is a mask of, unfortunately, it's an analogy for real relationships in which there are men out there that do this towards women. And in this case, it's for power. For an actual power, in a societal case, it's for that emotional power and suppression. And he's not making the best of her. He's making the most dangerous of her.
But does he know how dangerous she could be and how much power she has? I don't think she knows, and he knows, even to extent. I don't think he knew that she's going to kill those guys.
Number one thing that abusers do, cut you away from your ties, cut you away from everyone that you hold anchor.
Yeah, he did isolate her.
And he does that. He isolated her to the point where he took her to the woods. Let's not forget that happens at the end of this episode going into the next episode, right? Takes her, like, I'm going to isolate you collectively and say that all of your family members are out to get you. I'm creating that. Mm-hmm. And does so almost successfully. Ravonia believes that herself. None of you thought or wanted me to be special, right?
Yeah.
He sets that up. Mm-hmm. He has the book. That's how it started. He gets the book. And we see this flashback. Do we feel sympathy now? Because we disagree on that. But do we feel sympathy for Harold Jenkins' character because of the backstory that we get? The abusive father, the Reginald situation where he basically gets rejected by the Umbrella Academy fandom that he had when he goes to the parade being held for them.
I have empathy for him. Like, I feel his pain. That's a horrible thing to happen to you. But I don't have sympathy because I feel like sympathy is condoning what he's doing with it. And I don't condone his
behavior. You understand. You understand. You just don't condone.
Yeah, I understand why he's angry. I understand the vendetta and everything. But I don't agree with it.
That's fair. I agree. I mean, you got to have something. I mean, he's gone through traumatic things, right? So if you have sympathy or empathy for the other characters, you should for him because he's also gone through
stuff. But also, everybody goes through something on some level, and the worst thing you've gone through is semi-equal to the worst thing that I've gone through because that's the worst pain you've ever known. How you choose to act out on it is, like, at the end of the day, what makes your character.
Although he didn't have anyone by his side. In a way, they all had each other in some sort of form. He seemed very isolated from everything. I didn't even see a mother figure there or anything.
The mother died in birth, right?
Yeah.
So there you go.
And that became the part of the resentment from the father. And this was a great show of unfortunate male toxic behavior, where this is a father who drinks, and alcohol unfortunately also brings out the worst in people. Mm-hmm. And then we also see him physically abusive to Harold, and mentally abusive to Harold. And this is a child who grows up in an abusive household and knows nothing else.
And Umbrella Academy was the only thing he had to feel like home, right?
Powerful. There's a group of kids who have the power to defend themselves. I wish I was one. And that's something that every kid feels, which is why we have such an affinity for superheroes, is because we all all of us wish to be powerful. Humanity, and this is one thing, doesn't like to be dismissed, likes to be respected, justified. We like feeling like we belong. And this is all the Umbrella Academy represented for him. And then Harold Jenkins gets rejected by the very thing that he held so dear. He got so much in trouble for having their toys and playing and doing all those things, and then gets rejected in the worst of ways.
I just think the jury's still out on him. We have two more episodes to see before we make a final verdict if he's a really, really bad guy or a guy that's misled, bad choices.
He's pushing her to use her powers when he doesn't know the full extent of how it's going to affect her body. Because, I mean, true. We've seen her get worn out from using them. So it's like, why would you push someone to keep doing that if you don't know what's going
to
happen?
And my only concern is the fact that she doesn't necessarily want to.
Yeah.
So if she wanted to, because I know if I had powers, oh my gosh, you'd have to, like you'd have to pay me to stop. You like, I couldn't be like, if I could teleport, bro, I just, oh, I'm going to move here. Oh, I gotta, like, I wouldn't even walk anymore.
Only
like,
my if that sound effect happens.
Like, that would happen every time, every second that would happen. So I could understand a personal motivation, but in a way, to be very fair, this is a form of rape, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it's an analogy for that. In my opinion, in my personal opinion, someone who's basically guilting and manipulating someone to do something with their body that they don't necessarily want to do. Mm. Now, in this case, it happens to be superpowers. In another case, it happens to be sexual powers. You know, that can also be analogy, very super. Yeah. It's just one
I'm
of the things.
Wow, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, go figure. What this kind of is, day is this,
this
right?
This is crazy.
Here's the thing about the backstory. The backstory creates a sympathetic character for Harold Jenkins. Yes or no, Jim?
Yes, because without it, I feel he's just a bad guy, right? In general, then you just can make all this. I mean, he doesn't get any benefit of doubt at all.
And this gives him some type of clarity of why. Now, was the rejection he faced, was it Reginald's fault or was it just happenstance?
Reginald, I thought it was cruel. There's a different way of rejecting without making it a public spectacle. I thought it was like a spectacle, kind of like, I'll show you, you know, you're not good enough. I thought it was harsh. It could have been much differently, you know, executed.
Maybe this is just like older, being around older generations all the time, but I just think like, walk it off. I don't know. Yeah, it was mean, but take a lap around the block and like, chill out. I don't think it was deep
enough. It's a kid though. It's different if it's an adult.
But yeah. No, because it's like, it's not deep enough to have this like almost like 20-year vendetta.
But that was his life. That was like everything for him. So as you can tell, the toys, like that's the only thing he had. He didn't have a mother. He didn't really have a father. That's what he lived for in a lot of ways.
But I think it's unfair I understand he was a child at this point. He's like, what, 4, 12 or 13?
I felt like he was in this 11-year-old.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Okay, but it's unfair to put all that expectation on people who don't know you and don't owe you anything. So for him to come up and expect all of this.
But he's 11.
I mean, I get it, but I don't
know. Here's my
no participation trophy
situation on this, right? Is that this was the tipping point. The only thing that held him together throughout his father's abuse was specifically the Umbrella Academy.
Right.
Whether it was the toys, whether it was the clippings, whether it was the understanding of who they are, this is a group of kids he related to. He felt he was the eighth member. He was, you know, he felt super. We've seen this before. This is an archetype of a character. We saw this very similar thing in The Incredibles in a very cartoony way. Mm-hmm. The concept is, I belonged, and then he gets rejected. And the worst thing to happen, now, we see this often, and it does come down to a lot of toxic behavior, but we see even in sports, someone gets dunked on, sucks. Someone gets crossed over, sucks. You get rejected, it is a spectacle. It breaks your heart. We see this, unfortunately, at times when guys are catcalling and get rejected, and then that's the tipping point, right? So rejection is harsh. We see this in entertainers when they get rejected time and time again from an audition process, and then we see what that can also bestow. So rejection is harsh, especially if this is the last straw. And we see that it's the last straw because, boom.
Yeah, the father.
We see the abuse after that. He's like, well, I'm not in the Umbrella Academy. This is my power now. My power is I'm taking this control in my own hands.
I guess. I just, I don't know. I feel like it's just a case of, like, maybe toxic masculinity, because I feel like rejection happens all the time. But how you see in the news all the time, like, girl rejects man and she ends up dead. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, like, I just feel rejection is handled differently.
Not
and I
everyone
don't...
handles it. Plus, it's a kid. Like, we're talking, like, it's like 10, 11 year old. It's a whole different mindset.
Clearly a juvenile. A juvenile who gets, you know.
I understand him getting pushed. The father thing, I get. I get that. I'm talking about you've walked away from that life for, like, 17 years now. And you're coming back and, like, holding up a vendetta. I don't know. That's just weird.
What else did he have in his life? I mean, as a kid, that's what you zero in on, right? That was his thing. That was his life. And then he didn't have parental figures or apparently anything to guide him through life. So it stays, you know, and it just kind of manifests
itself. I feel like
that's
just giving people, like, an excuse for bad behavior. Like, this happened to me, so I'm allowed to do X, Y, and Z and continue that toxic cycle. I don't think that's how life works. I don't think that's how people work. We've all had situations that were bad and toxic. I didn't have the best childhood, but I'm not sitting here murdering my parents or, you know, having personal vendetta against the boy who, you know, threw rocks at me, like, in fourth grade. I just feel like, yes, it's very bad, and there are toxic behaviors you can have, but I also feel like everybody has a choice, and you have a choice to make
definitely.
Things.
Well, the choice that I feel like we should all make is watching After Buzz and checking us out, because right. each and every week we bring you a slew of variety of different TV shows. All your favorite shows are found right here on After Buzz. And I'll tell you this, all we ask from you is to click that share, like, and subscribe buttons, and tell your friends to tell their friends, because it's not just us on the panel, it's all of you, each and every one of you at home. We appreciate you all, and thank you for making us be the ESPN of TV talk. We look forward to hearing more from each and every one of you. Another situation that was a tipping point, as we get into the excuses, is Luther's moon mission. We find out that Luther, who has given and dedicated his life to the Umbrella Academy and has believed in it so much that he's never had an intimate relationship, he's never had a friendship, he's never had anything, we find out that the moon mission was just an excuse to give him purpose. It wasn't real. And when he finds that out, that's another tipping point.
Moon mission was a hoax, right? That's my boy. I call him the gorilla Philip Rivers. Here's the thing. I think we saw finally Luther break down, because he's always that strong figure, kind of the leader of the family, and he came to a breaking point. And I felt that was a big reveal with him and a big kind of side. I know you're not a fan of him, and that's been my guy from day one, but I think we saw a different side of him today in episode 7 for sure. Mm-hmm. And you feel for him. I mean, the guy has, like, really not experienced life at all, and he's like a grown child in a lot of ways because he's just been suppressed and kind of, you know, all sent off, and there's so many things. And when we saw him at the club, I thought it was him kind of just like unleashing his years of, like, suppression and just being kind of away from humanity and just anything in life.
We see that in a lot of oppressed societies where someone gets all of some freedom, or if a kid's mm-hmm. like not ever allowed to go out, and then when they go out, they go wild. Mm-hmm. What did you think, Drew, of Luther's moon mission hoax?
It's interesting to see how he acted out this time around, because he found out last episode, but obviously that entire episode, like, doesn't technically count because it technically didn't happen. Because last time he kind of depended on Allison, so this time he goes and turns up. And I don't know, I just feel like Luther, I like Luther, I don't dislike Luther, but I definitely feel like the whole leadership thing, I still think he has the emotional capacity of a pinto bean. So it was nice to see, another dimension of his.
You didn't see his emotional capacity in 7?
What? I said he was like a gnat last week, had the emotional capacity of a gnat. I feel like pinto bean was an upgrade.
Here's my thing about this. There's a nobility in submission that we all forget about. That's why we respect our soldiers. And Luther was a soldier. And mm-hmm. he followed orders. He followed his general's commands. And unfortunately, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And the chant, I was just following orders, has led to so many problems. But Luther was following the orders of his father. Like, this isn't just any general. This is the only person he's felt has actually cared about him realistically, the other two people being a robot and a talking monkey. So it hasn't been a normal life for him. And this is all he found. He believed the mantra, I am number one. Mm-hmm. He believed it, and he found out that it was all for nothing. That's got to be a very harsh thing to do. Another harsh thing to do is that the commission sent down an order, a kill order, for Hazel and Cha-Cha. That's kind of harsh. We, of course, know that somehow number 5 has a part to play in this, as he gets to work for the commission, because he is the smartest of them all, Hazel versus Cha-Cha. What did you guys think of that?
I just keep on thinking, man, Hazel's going above his age range there with a donut lady.
Well, he's technically older because he's been like time traveling a lot.
I kind of like that relationship though between them two. It's kind of sincere in a lot of ways, and it really.
You say he's going above his age range, but if that was the roles were reversed and it was instead of Agnes, it was Gary, and Hazel was Hazel Eyes.
So
you wouldn't think anything.
I would have saw the same thing. I mean, there's a significant, at least like physically,
you would
have
accepted it in your spirit.
And it's actually a thing
where we don't know that.
Where we see their connection is very mental and spiritual. It's a calming factor that Agnes
for sure
reminds him of a simpler, easier time. And it's also interesting to realize that Agnes owns that donut shop.
Yeah,
she looks like she just works there, but she actually owns the place.
That says a lot about her too, because how modest she is, and like no one would know. It's kind of like the disguise. This is the hero in disguise, you know, a lot of ways to her customers and all that. They see her as that face of the place, but not knowing that she's really the owner, you know.
Are we on board with Hazel and Agnes's relationship?
I think it's legitimate. It's real. It seems genuine.
Do we feel that Cha-Cha might have feelings towards Hazel?
I don't think Cha-Cha has feelings towards Hazel. I think it's like a lot of people. When your friends get in really serious relationships and you're used to being with them all the time and then they just kind of disappear and you feel abandoned, I feel like that's the situation going on there.
I don't like Cha-Cha's character. I think she's ruthless. Ruthless to a point where there's no remorse. Here is her partner, and obviously he's got a lot more sympathy for her, and he had multiple chances to kind of get rid of her, right? And he doesn't, even though he's risking him and Agnes at the same time by keeping her around. I just think she has no compassion or remorse for him as someone who worked with him and kind of seemed like good partners and friends.
I see a dichotomy with I'm following orders. And she consistently...
But she's not a robot. She
consistently sticks up for the commission. So if you ship Luther's actions, then you have to ship Cha-Cha's, because she's just following orders of her sovereign, of her governing board. So I say that their interaction, I feel like I like what you said, Drew, about the friendship. I also like how we shipped Hazel and Agnes. I'm just saying that we have to remember, and Hazel does show a lot more compassion than Cha-Cha did. I mean, we see the actions, we see what happens, and we also see the replay from episode 6 into episode 7 and understand a lot more of the dynamic of what the actions were, since we see it from a different perspective. Now, another different perspective we see is that when Klaus sees Dad, he thinks he's going to see homeboy, he's going to see
dead people.
He's going to see his lover, and it turns out to be Dad, and Dad has a lot of things to say. And it was a buzzkill for Klaus. What did you think of that scene?
Well, I think it solved a lot of the pieces of the puzzle, right? I mean, it gave him answers to things. It
gave me a lot more questions.
I thought there was answers. Yeah. I just didn't like the scene itself. It was just very bizarre, like at the barber shop, you know, him kind of, I don't know. It was just a weird kind of moment to have this conversation, but I felt it was a conversation where it gave some understanding of why. Because they had resentment for him pretty much all the time. And now there's that side where they can maybe forgive him with this, or at least have an understanding of what happened.
I think I feel like Klaus has had the most dangerous reaction to the abuse that he's gone through with his parents. Obviously, like, self-inflicted. But I like that he, of all people, kind of gets to have this, like, one-on-one closure with his dad.
And he's had the most problem. I don't know, because I feel like Vanya ending the world might be a problem.
I mean, obviously, but...
Yeah, that might be a little more toxic. And I will talk about the toxic relationship, because we talked about how Harold is toxic, but Vanya goes around and it goes bad really quick. Mm-hmm. Real fast, are we shipping Luther and Allison? We see them comfort and be together.
I liked it. I was on board with that from the... kind of initial, I mean, they were teasing a couple episodes ago, and then the kiss happened. I'm like, hey, this could work.
I just can't get behind it. They're siblings.
They are siblings. They live together. I mean, I'm not shipping Woody Allen and Homegirl either.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
It's like they are siblings, right? So
clearly, the show wants us to.
They grew up in the same household. This isn't like they were older and then they met. They grew up in the same household as brother and sister. It's a little awkward, and just because we like them, we see... suspension of disbelief in a lot of these love scenarios.
It's very Flowers in the Attic.
Yeah, Twilight. Me. Yo, he's 118 years old. She's 17. Yeah. We got to have a conversation. So it's like we see
it's
them
a show,
that.
Though. We're forgetting that,
and
too.
I love me some Allison. And we see a lot of Allison in episode 8. Okay, and at home, if you're shipping Allison and Luther, let us know down below.
So we can block you.
Yeah, Allather, okay? That's where Allather, yes or no, are you shipping it? And I'm not blocking anyone. I'd love to hear from each and every one of you. We do see a lot of Allison going in, and I love her. Allison investigates by pretending that she has a role when she sees the starstruck cop. She goes in initiative or deceit?
Both. Both initiative. She's got a purpose, right? So she's doing any means necessary, but it's deceitful. She's using the cop in a lot of ways to get what she wants to. So
I don't really want to say deceitful because she didn't use her powers. She literally has the power to do whatever. She could have gone in there and be like, I heard a rumor that you told me everything that you know about the situation. And she didn't. And we haven't really seen her use her power at all this entire season.
Which is a waste, if you ask me. But totally, I see the guilt where it comes
from. Yeah, she obviously has a lot of guilt or whatever. But, I don't necessarily see it as deceitful. I think it's, you know, she's on a mission. And he's just kind of... Because she ends up telling him the truth. And
well, after she kind of gets caught in a sense where she had to.
I guess, but I don't know. I don't, I think.
I also have to agree with Drew is that she didn't use her power, and that's, from a perspective, I didn't even notice.
Like, she's an actress. She could have said. She's got a power of manipulating people
through
her acting.
There, and we know how she kind of got there. She got to the top by using her power. She even used it on her own kid, which was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
A problem that I didn't find was Agnes and Hazel and Agnes running away. They're running away together. They're going. I don't know if I would have closed my donut shop, but good for
Agnes. That's really over.
That must be real love, bro.
That woman's ready. I mean,
she didn't hear a rumor. Yeah. She went on her own volition.
Yep. I kind of like that. That was very like romantic in a sense, but also maybe it's about her age too. You know, we're talking about her age, but maybe like she's at a point and this woman knows what she's wanted all her life, and here's an opportunity for that, and you know she's ready to give it all up for that.
I don't think she's that old. Like I feel like when you're like her age, it makes it feel like she's 80.
Well, I mean, she's like 50s. 50s at least.
Listen, I know 50-year-olds are turning
up. I don't know.
Either way, I mean, it was kind of admirable.
I mean, Mary J. Blige, black don't crack. I can't
That's
say
what I'm
that. I don't know. Agnes could be 35. No offense. Let's be real. Becky, I'm sorry. So here's the thing. Are we still shipping Agnes and Hazel? And even though Hazel has the knowledge that the world is going to end in a day and a half. Two days.
Make it the best 2 days you can.
Yeah, I think ship it. Why be together with someone that you care about instead of being alone? The world's gonna end either way.
Well, he leaves. He leaves to go on this mission to go fix the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or something. And we see that it ends to him trying to fix the world at least. But he leaves. He leaves, and he also left Cha-Cha alive. And Cha-Cha says she's out for vengeance. What do you think happens there?
Well, that's predictions, right?
Yeah, I mean,
right there.
We kind of had a little bit of the taste of what happened, though.
Hell hath no fury like a scorned woman.
Wow, like a woman scorned. That one I know. I've learned that from Drew. So, in the meat of the concept of this episode mm-hmm. 8, and this is the meat, and it's all-encompassing, is Vanya practicing her powers, Vanya's flashbacks. Was Reginald right to hide her powers from her? Because he was right that the powers were too powerful. But was he right in how he did it?
No.
Yeah, it's hard to... I mean, I see the side of where it would be right to hold it against, but man, he just locked her up pretty much, right? So in that way, I mean, there's other ways. I just think this guy does not do things the right way. He just does extreme things all the time.
He literally put a Band-Aid in a crack on a dam. Mm. Like, he was just waiting for it to
explode.
Yeah, he patched it up so it was good while he was alive, but then when he died, it was like, cool, bye.
A very strong similarity to Jean Grey, Dark Phoenix, mm-hmm. and
yeah,
the concept of Professor Xavier, where this is how it exploded in his face. Now, there is the Hitler scenario. Do you go back in time and kill a baby Hitler, right? Sure, we know what Hitler did, but at the same time, do you kill a baby? Hindsight is always 20/20 in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really bad because we see what happened, but at the time, I don't know. This is all he knew. This is all he knew he could do. And we the harsh part wasn't telling her she doesn't have powers. The harsh part was telling her she's not special.
Yeah.
Which Leonard can attest to, right?
And kept telling her that, and then we saw her pick up the violin which was basically an heirloom of sorts, and she got to play that. But, man, she wasn't allowed to hang out with them. She was literally separated from them from the time where she was put downstairs in the basement to the time where she was not allowed to even interact with them.
Yeah, I just feel like it really was kind of, because obviously he cares about her in some sense because he gave her the violin.
Sure.
So he cares because like that was something special to him. That was his wife's. So there's some connection he has.
I think he cares about her the most.
Yeah.
And that's why he does, because Reginald does this distancing thing, this wall thing. This is
right.
How he shows love.
But hypothetically, couldn't he have used Allison's power to help control it rather than just being like, I heard a rumor, you're, you know,
he
not
trust
special.
Her. She was a kid.
It was easier to suppress than it was to regress. And so that's the concept. It's like, how do you control something that you feel is uncontrollable? How do you create that? And unfortunately, even it's a perfect analogy in a lot of things, is where we create our own worst enemies, where we try to fix something and then we go in a country and then create our own enemy. We, even in a relationship, we try to like step ahead and it turns out that we're stepping like two steps backwards, we're stepping behind. So it's just a interesting dynamic watching Vanya and the flashbacks. So we get episode 7, we get Harold Jenkins. In episode 8, we get the real Vanya.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was that was definitely a parallel of this. Did you feel more empathy or sympathy for Vanya in this situation?
Yeah. Both, because I don't think her intentions are malicious and there's no like vendetta there. Hers is strictly hurt and trying to understand her hurt. I don't think she's going out of her way to, you know, get anybody back.
Yeah, and especially when the throat slashing happened.
Yeah, I think Allison might disagree. Allison might disagree.
Well,
you knew? Allison was a little kid. They're all the same age. So they were all literally born on the same day. So they're all exactly the same age. You're a little kid. You listen to what dad says. Mm-hmm. And she lashes out and slices Allison's throat. Mm-hmm. And wow, that's such a powerful scene. I loved Allison, and for her, I don't know. We'll get into predictions. Is she alive or dead? But the concept is she lashed out, and that's the beginning of the end.
Yep. That was the force and power that we've been waiting to see in a lot of ways. See what she's got in store, because she was very subtle and quiet the first few episodes, and now hell is broken loose.
And we've only seen the beginning of Vanya and what she's able to do, and there's so much more. Let's get into let's talk about numbers. What number are you, Drew?
6.
Mm. You're dead to me. I can't go out tonight? Okay, you're dead to me, I have to say. I can see the monster from within coming out. I've seen that before.
Exactly.
Jim?
1. Just with, you know, not that much hair.
Yeah, well,
stuff
with
like
the hair.
Hair. But, and I can see not the Philip River looks, but everything else. Yeah, that guy's cool.
Luther's a great looking guy. I would love to say that I'm Allison, but I'm definitely going with number 5 here. I get that life of living a long life and just always being in that. I would have loved to have talked about number 5, but we are running short on time. So let's get into a couple pieces of news and gossip.
What news and gossip?
Well, the news and gossip is that Netflix is definitely picking up.
Yeah,
we're going with
the
number 2. Season 2 is where this is Umbrella Academy is definitely given the budget. Netflix has been cutting shows. Mm-hmm. And so for this to get a number 2, season 2, I think we're all happy. We saw that Umbrella Academy did very good in the ratings. So thank you so much, Netflix, for listening to your subscribers and giving us what we want. I have to find out what happens, let alone episode 9 and 10. I have to find out what happens next season. I don't even know how they're going to wrap this season up. Like, there's so much. Like, how do you end the world in a day?
Yeah.
One more day. There's basically a day left. Let's see how that works. Let's actually get into predictions and find out how we do end in a day and a half.
You're After Buzz TV. Predictions.
Give me one sentence.
Allison's not dead because there's not enough women on this show, so they can't kill her off.
Allison is dead, but Dad isn't dead. And Leonard and Vanya, they're very similar in a lot of ways. And I think that will keep on continuing that storyline of them together even after what we've seen these two episodes. I think she still needs him and he needs her.
Yeah, that was definitely more than one sentence. But I will say, number 5 saves the day. or destroys it. I don't know. That's how it works. Guys, thank you so much for being a part of the panel. I would love to know, where can people find you if you want to be found?
You guys can slide into my DMs at OKDrewJ.
I will be doing that. Jim?
At TheJimAlexander or RealTalker.com.
I will be doing that too. And perfect. I am Tehran, in case you didn't know, literally at I am Tehran all across the board. That's hosting and paneling on a slew of AfterBuzz after shows. Make sure to check them out and share, subscribe, and give us that 5-star rating. We so deserve. Steph Sabra is in the booth. We appreciate each and every one of you for being here. We will see you next week. Same Umbrella Academy time. Same Umbrella Academy channel. Until next week. Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.